Welcome to the Plotopsy Podcast here at Misanthropy Movie Blog. With each episode of the Plotopsy, I take apart a movie that is generally accepted to be a failure and try to determine just what circumstances and actions led to its demise. Today, we're going to take a look at the Canon Films classic Masters of the Universe, starring Dolph Lundgren and Frank Langella. Let's scrub up and dig in. Masters of the Universe was written by David O'Dell, who also penned such films as Supergirl and The Dark Crystal. Interestingly, Masters of the Universe is an adaptation specifically from the original line of toys, and not the immensely popular cartoon He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which establishes very different backstories for the characters and the plot. This confused many fans of the franchise when the movie initially released, and almost certainly contributed to the negative reception it received. The director on Masters of the Universe was Gary Goddard, and it is to date his only feature film directorial credit. However, he has produced and written a number of shorts and 3D and 4D shows for theme parks over the years, including Jurassic Park The Ride, Star Trek The Experience, and Terminator 2 3D. As for some other key members of the crew, the cinematographer for Masters of the Universe was Hanania Bayer, who has shot such movies as American Ninja, Ninja 3 The Domination, Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo, The Brotherhood of Justice, and Ernest Scared Stupid. The editor on the film was Ann V. Coates, who has also cut movies such as 50 Shades of Grey, Congo, Lawrence of Arabia, Striptease, Aaron Brockovich, and The Golden Compass over her career. The production designer was none other than William Stout, who has contributed designs for such notable films as Leviathan, Return of the Living Dead, Theodore Rex, Pan's Labyrinth, Predator, and House. The music for Masters of the Universe was composed by Bill Conti, who is best known for his work on two iconic franchises, Rocky and The Karate Kid. Last but not least, the two primary producers of Masters of the Universe were, of course, Menahem Golan and Yoram Globus, the infamous duo behind the flurry of Canon Group B movies that dominated the 1980s. These included Enter the Ninja, Revenge of the Ninja, Ninja 3 The Domination, American Ninja, Over the Top, Breakin', Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo, and the Death Wish sequels, among many others. A recent acclaimed documentary, Electric Boogaloo, recounted their astounding and baffling careers as film producers, and is a film I highly recommend checking out. The cast of Masters of the Universe included Dolph Lundgren, a now legendary action star who was just then coming off his first major roles in Rocky IV and A View to a Kill, acclaimed actor Frank Langella of The 12 Chairs, Cutthroat Island, Small Soldiers, and The Ninth Gate, Meg Foster of They Live and Leviathan, Billy Barty of Willow and Legend, Courtney Cox of Friends, Scream, and Cougar Town, Chelsea Field of Death Spa and Flipper, and James Tolkien, best known for Back to the Future. In an interview, director Gary Goddard spoke about the stylistic influence of the works of comic book master Jack Kirby on his vision for Masters of the Universe, saying, "The storyline was greatly inspired by the classic Fantastic Four, Doctor Doom epics, The New Gods, and a bit of Thor thrown in here and there. I intended the film to be a motion picture comic book, though it was a tough proposition to sell to the studio at the time. Comics are just for kids, they thought. They would not allow me to hire Jack Kirby, who I desperately wanted to be the conceptual artist for the picture." The costuming for the character of Evil Lyn caused actor Meg Foster significant bruising in particularly inconvenient locations, and the whole suit reportedly weighed over 40 pounds in total. Interestingly, the eerie appearance of her eyes in the movie was completely natural and required no enhancements or contact lenses. Frank Langella reportedly loved playing the villainous character of Skeletor, and even wrote some of the more memorable lines in the movie himself. He initially took the role because of how much his son loved the franchise, a situation that echoes the similar casting of Raul Julia in the Street Fighter adaptation some years later. Anthony DeLongis, one of the actors in the film, was initially hired specifically as a sword expert, but eventually provided all of the fight choreography for the film and landed his secondary villain role. He even filled in a Skeletor in the fight sequences for the film, and trained a neophyte Dolph Lundgren on how to use a sword. Masters of the Universe proved to be a financial failure, bringing in only $17 million at the box office on a budget of $22 million. Likewise, the reviews of the movie were brutal, clocking in at an aggregate of 17% approval on Rotten Tomatoes from critics and 41% from audiences, along with an IMDb rating of 5.3. The failure of Masters of the Universe, coupled with the disappointment of Superman IV, another high-profile canon venture, supposedly foiled plans by the Canon Group to invest in a high-budget film adaptation of Spider-Man in the late 1980s, which was to be funded by the profits of those two films. Nevertheless, a sequel to Masters of the Universe was cast and written, but was ultimately scrapped just as the Canon Group was going under. Very little is known about the abandoned production, other than it would have been directed by Albert Pune, a notorious B-movie master who is responsible for films like the 1990 Captain America, Cyborg, and Dollman. A reboot of Masters of the Universe is currently in the works, and has been for a few years, with the latest information that Thor: The Dark World screenwriter Christopher Yost has been attached to keep it moving along. On to the plotopsy of the film. What exactly went wrong with Masters of the Universe? My first thought about this is that it was incredibly risky for Golan and Globus to place such a high-stakes property with inevitable long-term repercussions in the hands of an inexperienced director. Sometimes this winds up working out fine, like was the case recently with Deadpool, but it is always an exceptionally risky maneuver. However, I personally don't think that the directing of the film is really all that bad. Likewise, Dolph Lundgren was certainly an inexperienced lead, who was still getting a grasp of English, but his appearance fit the part excellently, and I've never seen He-Man as so deep of a character to necessitate any more than a surface performance. Frankly, he just needed to look the part, and I think he did. In my opinion, the biggest problems with Masters of the Universe boil down to issues with the screenplay. Dealing with an adaptation of an established property is a double-edged sword. On one hand, there is a built-in fan base, who are almost guaranteed to buy tickets. On the other hand, fans are a fickle, pedantic, and irritable lot, and lash out at even the slightest derivations from their beloved source material. The fact that Masters of the Universe relied heavily upon fans of the He-Man cartoon to be the primary audience, while also throwing out the established content of the brand, meant that the screenplay set itself up for a disastrous response. The second biggest issue with Masters of the Universe, in my opinion, is its transparent use of contemporary imitation. Clearly, Canon wanted this movie to be a financial winner, so I suspect there was a significant pressure for the film to mirror recent box office successes of the time. Unfortunately, this is rarely the best tactic for creating a successful feature. With movies, imitating something that is currently popular means that the ultimate product will be behind the times, because it can take years for a concept to develop into an on-screen product. This is why mockbusters and knockoffs are usually rushed and cheaply made. They have a short window to be successful, and usually have a low ceiling for profitability. Taking a look at Masters of the Universe, there are all sorts of familiar elements pulled from successes from throughout the 1970s and 1980s. At the time, this would have felt a little too familiar and tired, but now, the movie is like a surreal time capsule of the age, and is a perfect vessel for nostalgia junkies. Looking through the movie, you'll see bits of Back to the Future, Star Wars, Superman, Terminator, and Conan the Barbarian, along with many others. I personally highly recommend that people check out Masters of the Universe. It is certainly cheesy, but it is visually striking and has a gooey, nostalgic center that many folks have a taste for nowadays. Reading through the movie's contemporaneous critical reviews, one of the biggest shots against Masters of the Universe was the concept that it was an adaptation from a toy line, which most critics referenced and discussed. In today's world where adaptations of such low art as comic books, board games, and graphic novels are the industry norm, I think Masters of the Universe deserves a revisit through a new set of eyes. That's all for today's Plotopsy podcast. Be sure to check out the Misanthropy Movie Blog archives for hundreds of posts on some of the worst features ever to deface a screen. And check out Misanthropy Movie Blog on Facebook. And so I crashed on the top when I'm lying in bed just to get it all up, what's in my head, and I feel it.